Romans chapter 13, beginning of verse 11. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. There is a popular pastime that has become almost a sport in some countries, especially in Europe and South America, known as train surfing. And you can go on YouTube and find videos of usually teenagers and those in maybe their early 20s that like to jump on top of trains off of bridges and try to ride them as long as they possibly can. And I always wonder if you could ask those same individuals, let's say 15 years from now, and let's say they are parents, if they'd have a little bit different perspective on that game and that activity. There's something about being young that we maybe take risks and try things that are a little bit more dangerous. And it's easy during youthful years to sort of underestimate the potential danger and risks that can often be involved with things. Regarding train surfing, just in Brazil alone, over 200 youth a year are maimed from this. Some lose an arm or a leg. But worse yet, about 150 just in Brazil die each year. St. Paul is warning us in our text about some risky behaviors as far as our spiritual lives are concerned. And these are especially important words to us when we are in our youthful years, because that's a time when maybe we can take a little bit more risk even with our spiritual lives. And yet many of the things that he mentions have lasting earthly consequences to them. Listen to the list that he gives again. Revelry, drunkenness, lewdness, lust, strife, envy. Now these aren't brand new temptations to us today. They've been around. Obviously they were temptations for people in Paul's day. Even in the second and third centuries, a great theologian in the church named Clement of Alexandria wrote this to the people of his day. It is wrong to add fire to fire by pouring wine, the most fiery of all liquids, into the burning years of life. But the danger is not just in simply getting hurt in our earthly lives by these risky things that Paul mentions, but the danger is that they can kill spiritually, eternally. They can bring spiritual death. Paul doesn't want you or me to be caught unprepared for the return of our gracious Savior. And the more we let our lives be caught up in a lot of these risky activities, the more we kind of gravitate toward these things that are spiritually dangerous for us, the less we seem to care about Christ. The less we want to love him and cherish his grace and forgiveness, and the less we think about heaven. That's certainly the case for me. The more I gravitate to the things that are spiritually dangerous for me, the less I care about keeping my heart focused on Christ. Notice that Paul assumes that Christians are going to be tempted by these things. It's a given. He doesn't say you might be. We just are, because we live in a world that's so full of sin. But before you and I might look at this and say, well, I'm not getting drunk and I'm not acting with lewdness and all these different things, and maybe think that we're isolated and protected from this, he throws another one at us that absolutely every person in this sanctuary can relate to. And that is lethargy. Just being lethargic about our faith. He calls it a sleep. He says, now it is high time to wake out of sleep. And every one of us has been there. We just kind of stop caring about this stuff. This whole process of repenting of our sins and hearing God's grace and forgiveness, yeah, it's easy to just kind of blah, blah, blah with that, to be tempted into lethargy. Martin Luther said this, "Paul here is speaking of spiritual sleep, where the spirit is sleeping when it lives in sins and is content. He is speaking about Christians who are living lukewarm lives," and then I love this, "and are snoring in their smugness." Isn't that great? Snoring in their smugness. Right now, even through my sinful mouth, God holds open to you the window of his grace and mercy in Christ, and all of the benefits that are found in that window, the forgiveness of all sins, the perfect, holy, righteous record of your Savior that you need to stand in the judgment, the wonderful hope of getting to live with the angels someday. And God is very long-suffering with us, but don't trifle with his grace, because a time is coming when he's going to slam the window shut. He did this to the children of Israel, finally removing the word of God from them because they despised it as a people. He brought a sudden end to the lives of Ananias and Sapphira, who thought they were probably set for years. And I think about the rich man in hell, the parable that Jesus tells of the rich man and Lazarus. He obviously, it appears from what he says in hell, he obviously knew what was right, but had managed to set it aside in his lifetime. How many people are there with him right now who at one time sat in sanctuaries like this, who at one time possessed the saving grace of Christ, who loved him and cherished his word, but somehow let other things pull them away? If you've ever seen a trap for an animal that's a cage trap, and it'll often have a piece of food inside, and watch the animal slowly come up and observe this trap, it can tell something isn't quite right, but the desire to get that piece of food inside is just so strong that it has to enter. What is the bait that the devil puts in front of me and you right now in your life that is tempting us to go into his trap to be caught and eternally die? Today is the day of repentance. Not tomorrow, not when you get gray hair, because those days may not come. Your gracious and loving King is on the way. He's coming back, and he doesn't want you to be caught sleeping when he gets here. And so today is the day he desires that we turn back to him in repentance. And everything that he has and possesses, all of the wealth of heaven, belongs to you right now, even though you maybe don't feel it or see it. By faith, given to you in the waters of baptism right now, your heart already possesses and holds on to a perfect status with God, the forgiveness of every sin you've ever done in your life, the riches of heaven, all the treasury that Christ has. You are right now his heir of all of that. But he doesn't want us to lose them. He doesn't want us to let go of all of that treasure while we reach down to pick up some foolish piece of garbage in this world. Amen. Let us rise for our Advent collect. You'll find it on page 147 in the front part of your hymn book, page 147, collect number 2. And we join in unison. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, we bless and praise you forever that you sent your Son to rule over us poor sinners, who for our transgressions justly deserved to remain in the bondage of sin and Satan, and that in him you gave us a meek and righteous King, who by his death became our Savior from sin and eternal death. We beseech you so to enlighten, govern, and direct us by your Holy Spirit, that we may ever remain faithful to this righteous King and Savior. after the manner of the world, be offended by his humble form and despised word, but firmly believing in him, obtain eternal salvation. Through the same your beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.